would start by like sharing this with your friend or helping them with maybe some things that they might struggle with?
That's a great question. One of the things about theology of body is people often say, well, what is it? And it's really hard to get into what it sounds like. I'm like, here's a 30-second definition of what theology of body is. One of the things that I'll typically say is one of the models we kind of repeated a bunch of times, which is basically it's the whole thing is predicated on, you said that too, which makes you sound smarter. It's all predicated on the idea that your body is you, therefore what you do with your body means something. What you do with your body matters. And so then it's, there's that. What I do with my body matters. Therefore, I can tell lies with my body. I can tell the truth with my body. The lies lead to slavery, and the truth leads to joy. That's that idea. What would you say?
No, that was good.
For the beginning. And then I'd say, sit down and talk to my friends.
Thank you.
I
very much related to that question. Just being in the young age group that we're in, a lot of people are getting married in this like culture of contraception being so huge, and it just like I don't know how do you address it? It's just I don't know.
Well, one of the things just actually like what I was saying earlier has worked really well. I didn't know how well it would work, but just saying to somebody, well, no, let's just think about what we're actually saying. Because the large part is, again, none of us are bad. Nobody's bad. None of the people, contracepting or not contracepting, are any worse or better than anybody. So they're good people just trying to, they're aiming for love. So when it comes to the contracepting, it's not even about that they knew what they were doing. So often I found that when a couple suddenly like, oh, I didn't realize I was saying that. Like, even me, like, I'm incredibly lustful. Still, when I found out, oh, it's use, like, I don't want to be a user. I don't want to be that. That's not me. So much of theology of the body is not just informative, it's transformative. So that when you even just get them to ask those questions, what are you saying when you do this? Not that you're bad, but what are you saying? Then they start to look at it on their own. That's one area that helps.
Yeah, because the big motivation is, we want to love. We're made from love, by love, for love. Therefore, that recognizing and affirming that desire and saying, is this that? Or is this something else? A lot of times people will say, like, well, no, I don't intend that. Like, fantastic, but then we have that whole language of body, this, Speedos, Tarzan, outfits, all that kind of stuff. And you're like, well, then I want to tell the truth. Also, sometimes, I've actually just come across recently someone who said that they struggle because when it comes to the harmful side effects of contraceptive pill, we can always argue data. It's hard to argue logic. But people can argue data. Well, your results are skewed, or this or that is skewed. And so this person had read this book, and they're reading, going through, like, well, here's the church's teaching against contraception really makes a lot of sense. And they got to a chapter that talked about the harmful side effects, and they disagreed with the statistics. And therefore they said, whole book is wrong, therefore they chucked it, because that was their out. So sometimes statistics help, and sometimes statistics can just be something I can hide behind. That's one thing. The logic is sound. It's the stats that I think are sound too, but they can skew them. Be patient.
You talked about the four loves. And you define eros, storge, and philia, and then you mentioned eros becoming agape, but you didn't really give a definition of agape.
Yes. It's like this. It's like when you have something completely wide open. It's just a gape. Agape can be defined as, agape would be this like self-emptying love. It's really interesting because agape has very, very little traction in pre-Christian literature. I mean, it's there, but it's not understood. It's funny that we actually have the encounter of Christianity with Greek thought and Greek philosophy and Greek culture. It's when they're like, ah, that's what agape is. Jesus. The self-emptying kind of love that has the same kind of desire. I desire my bride, but I don't desire her to possess me. I desire to empty myself out for her. And so that's that sense of self-emptying love. We might even call it true love. Or too late. Anyone? strength is right.
True love.
John.
I think I'm confused, but I'm not sure.
And yes, you're
in that case.
The thing that, okay, you got love, total, faithful, fruitful. Can I say, like a soldier, I thought of a scenario where a soldier's giving his life for a child he doesn't know in this war, and he just throws his body in front of it and saves a child. That's got all those qualifications of the full faith. And then when we're in the beginning thralls of falling in love before we hardly know the other person, that's the man's instinct to do that kind of thing. So initially it's on, it's right. So, let's see, now I'm confused. I lost track of where exactly I was going to ask. But
if I can see where you're going.
Because there's like the Romeo and Juliet thing, but that's kind of sick too.
Right. Because even that, think about this. The thing about someone who says, Bella and Edward. Like, he's gone, therefore I'm going to sit in this room while the camera circles around me and the months go by. Like, that's love, you guys, that's love. She really actually does love him because she refuses to move on when he leaves. No.
Right.
That's pathetic. It's just sad. But that image that we're kind of getting is like, but what do you have there? You have faithfulness. And she's being faithful to him. But there's not the other thing. She's not free. He's her own personal brand of heroin. He's an addict and she admits it. Anyway, come on, you guys. So there's a piece there that hints at. That's why Eros isn't bad. Eros, you see, the relationship starts, and he wants to do all these things, wants to lay down his life for her, wants to do all these things. Eros is good. It actually points to, that's how you want to be. But Eros also has this undercurrent of, I want to do that because I want to own you, I want to possess you. That's why, one of my favorite books of all time, C.S. Lewis, writing the book called The Four Loves. If you can't get through it, iTunes sells the Audible download. Incredible. Because, actually, C.S. Lewis, he talks about this. He says every one of the loves is good, but here's where you can fall in. So philia is good, but here's where you can fall in. Eros is good, but here's where you can fall in. It's only when all those loves, philia, eros, and storge, are transformed from just being them to being something more, is when agape can't fall. Because it's that pure love, loving the other for their own sake. But all the other loves point to it. They all shoot at it. All of them shoot at it.
And the total faithful fruitful is the definition of love, but not necessarily, but it's the definition of all loves.
Yeah. Or agape fully would be, and then Eros, storge, philia, they all shoot towards free total faithful fruitful, but they actually, you could have eros without having all four qualities. You could have storge without having all four qualities. You could have philia without having all four qualities.
Yeah.
But agape is all four qualities.
So you talked about contraception and that your parents, I think you said it was, and you talked about, like, obviously the biological side effects and, like, what those side effects were, but you didn't really, like, go in depth on, like, the stuff. Like, because you could be healthy on that kind of stuff. Like, what is the emotional relationship of, like, that kind of stuff?
It's so big. And I'll say something. Go ahead.
Yeah.
One huge thing is, okay, so to make it really personal with my parents, because they're not here. And so, it's interesting, my dad is kind of a workaholic, and so he always gone. And one of the things that motivates his work is I'm providing for my family. I'm being a man. I'm confident, I'm doing the work, I'm getting it for my family. And I'm showing he shows my mom how much he loves her by, I can provide for these things. So you ever heard of the five love languages? The five love languages are gift-giving, works of service, quality time, affection, and words, encouragement, of affirmation. My dad's love language is gift-giving and service that way. So, it's gift-giving and affection, physical affection. So every day when he'd come home, whether it was early or late at night, we'd be sitting there and he'd come up to my mom and he'd just like, come on, mom, just like, you know, mwah, 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 mwah. And we're like, oh, so gross. That's my dad's language. There's no warm up. He's just like, here she is. I have affection for her. So like, you know, and also like the gift giving thing. So he's spending a lot of time at work and working really hard. And then Christmas comes along. It just always happens almost every Christmas where he would present my mom with this gift that costs more than other gifts. This is an expensive gift. And mom would do, he would do this every year. My mom would do her thing every year. He would give her this incredibly expensive gift. And she would look at it and go say, you are so stupid. Like, why would you do this? Bring this back right now. Like, she would always do this. He's saying, I'm trying to say I love you. And she's saying, take this back, you idiot. He's coming up to her like, mwah, mwah, mwah. She's like, I'm trying to cook here, or what, I'm trying to take care of these things. So they went, after 25, 30 years of marriage, they did this course in love languages. It was called, for him, Light Her Fire. For her, it was Light His Fire. My mom told me about this because she's like, you might need to tell someone about this someday. So they went through this, and they found out your father's love language is affection and service or gift giving, you know, that kind of thing. So he's always at work. My mom's love language, guess what that is? Quality time. So here, she's like, just spend time with me. And he's like, listen, I'm telling you I love you all the time. My time at work is me telling you I love you. These gifts are me telling you I love you. When I come into the room, you are the one I want to hold. I'm telling you I love you. But she, meanwhile, just feels that he doesn't love her. And so what happens is, all during this time, too, contraception, is they're just growing apart like this. Because there's no need for him to woo her. No need for him to listen to what's going on in her life. For her, she feels unheard. Comes home late from work, crawls into bed, and he's ready. Like, let's talk. Let's spend some time together. No, we don't need to do that. We just go. I'm working all day, and I'm ready to hold you. I'm ready to make love to you. When it came to this, they realized, oh my gosh, we're not talking, we're not communicating. I'm not listening to my bride, and she tells me that, wait, I'm not just here to be used. It's very interesting because in their marriage, the awareness of what contraception was doing to them happened at the exact same time that they realized how they were not communicating to each other when it came to, here's how I really love you. In that relationship, and among many others, whereas this, I've taken you for granted. Instead of actually intentionally saying, let me give myself to you. I don't know if Nick, you want to add anything to that. I don't know if that makes any sense. I've seen it. Let me mention this. Another couple relationship where he goes home and he's ready to go, or she goes home, whatever, and he's ready to go. And she says, listen, I have had a long day. We have these children, and they are getting on my nerves, and I'm tired, and I'm emotionally drained. And here's how we can feed them or clothe them, all these kind of things. Stop. Because I don't know if we're ready to have a child. And they have to sit down then and say, whoa, okay, wait. Are we ready to have another child? She says, no, I'm tired. And he has to say, well, okay, tell me more about that. And here he can say, I feel like I have to go to work now to get these extra shifts and I got to do all these other things because we have to keep more feeding more of these kids, and you want to be intimate with me, but I'm so overworked. Imagine taking that out and separating procreation from this intimate moment. They just use each other without having that conversation of, where are you at? And I've just found so many couples, when they introduce that time of absence every month, it's like, we actually talk to each other again. We actually listen to each other again. I woo her heart again, and I try to hold up and cherish his heart. I find it, practically speaking, the last thing I'll say about that is our divorce rate in this cult country is 50 to 60%. Among couples who practice natural family planning, it's under 4%. So as far as statistics are concerned, as far as like even that biological, like even relationship-wise, if you want to have your marriage last, if you don't want your marriage last, you should contracept. Because the odds are really in your favor of getting your goal. If you want your marriage to last, then don't contracept, because then your odds are really in favor of you getting your goal. Under 4%.
Back to the contraception. What would be the best way to address a friend where they say that people are going to do it anyways, so I'd rather have them contracept. Like, what could you, like, to a college student, like, they don't understand family planning or anything, so they would rather have someone contracept than not, but.
Yeah.
Like, what would you say to address that?
Depends on who the person is. I don't know if you want to say anything about this thing.
Well, no, just that I my next door neighbor, just, she's, I think, 40, something like that. And just the other day, it's like, oh, I really need help, I'm pregnant. I was at a party, and I didn't have the morning after pill handy, and some guy slipped me ecstasy, and now I'm pregnant. Human life is viewed as this bad thing. My mom, she was 17, and my dad was an alcoholic. I didn't know him until I was 18, he was abusive. I'm glad I'm around. It was a bad situation. I'm glad I'm here. So, in much the same way, when life comes from anything, it's life. It's life. It's as good as all of us, so it has to be good. So, I don't know, in one sense, I like that when that's still there. Like, well, we can get pregnant. Good, yeah, that's the normal outcome. So then I would tell people, like, instead of saying they're going to do it anyway, ask yourself why you don't want to get pregnant. Like, okay, go ahead and sleep around tonight, fine. Ask yourself why you're not wanting to have a baby with whoever you're meeting at the party. Like, go deeper with your questions. That would be one thing.
Yeah, because if I'm not, don't want the consequences of life. Another one is professor of philosophy down in the Twin Cities. Her name is Dr. Anne Mahoney. And she once talked about, she said when she was a kid, they had a dog. And the dog would always, when all the other female dogs in the neighborhood were in heat, this dog would run around the neighborhood and basically impregnate all the other female dogs. And she's like, her mom gets so mad at the dog. And she says, I have this distinct memory of my mom yelling at the dog saying, why, how could you do this to me? Like, and she said, she was like, I was 8 years old, and I was like, Mom, he's a dog. Like, it'd be a different situation if it was dad doing this, but that's what dogs do. And there's something about, like, when it comes to, well, we have to give them something because they're just going to do it anyways, that says, let's just treat you like animals. Junior high kid, you're just going to do it anyways. Therefore, you have no control. You have no humanity. Therefore, we're going to provide this for you. Because that's how little we think of you. That's how low you are in my assessment. Is you're just an animal. You can't say no. You're not free. Therefore, here's what we're going to do. I think there's something that's insulting. Like, are you kidding me? Remember when I came across the statistic for X number of 17-year-olds or 18-year-olds have sex, da da da. And I remember I was like 13, I'm like, not me. I was like, I was just getting angry, or not angry. I was like, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be a statistic. Sometimes, when someone says, here, you're going to do it anyways, that's when I say, no, I'm not the dog. I'm a human being. And there's something, like, we're all human beings. Well, at least in this room.
One thing, you mentioned the divorce rate. I heard once, this is from my sociology class actually, that like that rate includes second and third marriages also, but like a first marriage it's only 30%.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I don't know if that's more accurate. Just wondering if you had heard that also.
Yeah. I heard that when it comes to second marriages, that it's higher than half.
Yeah.
But when it comes to only first marriages, it's closer to half.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
So, but.
What about a married couple where one of the partners has either HIV or FC or any sort of diseases like that with common use? That was wondering.
It's a great question. One of the things would be if my spouse was diabetic, but I really like sweets, would I say, honey, like, I made this meal for us. It's loaded with sugar. Because I just really like this. And I know you like the taste of sugar as well. It could kill you. But we just really like this. What would I do if I was a husband of this wife who, with this, you know, sugar-loaded meal, could kill her? I'd say, actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to have those foods. So it could actually be the call. What's the call? It's not self-fulfillment. My call, marriage is not my great happiness project. Marriage is where I'm called as a husband to lay down my life for my bride. It might be me saying, I say no to myself, so I can say yes to your life. If I have sex with you, I may give you a disease that could kill you. Therefore, I won't do that. Actually, it could be that. And that would be what the husband's doing. When he's laying down his life for his bride. How many times do we have that, not in a great, huge sense like this, but the sense of any other situation where you say, if you really love me, well then don't do this thing. Even if that normally, in normal circumstances, would be a great thing of you bring forth life. In this case, it could actually hurt me. So a woman could be actually, if you get pregnant, you could actually die. Well, in that case, I'm not going to get you pregnant. And so I'm not saying I'm going to contracept it. I may have to not do the thing that could get you pregnant and kill you. And I'm going to say no to myself, not because I'm trying to interrupt love. I'm saying no to myself because of love. And that's the bringing forth freedom. That's the great call, you guys. That's the thing is, again, if I vision marriage and sex as my great thing that makes me happiest now, I'm seeing it the wrong way. There's, you know, they say, there's three rings or four rings in marriage. The engagement ring, the man's and woman's wedding ring, and then supper ring. There's that, here's the groom who says, I'm laying down my life for my bride. I'm going to die. So that could be the case.
Say a couple times that he is the man has a vasectomy and the woman is approaching menopause and they learn about NMP and they learn about TOP. What steps do they take?
Great question. They would not be under any obligation to reverse the vasectomy.
Okay.
Because they'd be like, okay, this is the situation we find ourselves in now. What we could do though is we could practice a version of natural family planning in our life. What I say is introduce that kind of abstinence into our married life. So the man can say and the woman can say, I can honor you that way. Now we probably will not have children out of this, but we still have intimacy out of this. So I want to make sure that I train myself to actually love my spouse. So I bet they're not under no obligation to reverse the vasectomy.
Do you find any of the same side effects or consequences when a man has a vasectomy versus like a woman being on a contraceptive pill? Like, is it kind of that same thing, like there is no communication?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there can be communication. I mean, you always can have the exception. But what it comes down to is fundamentally though, we're intentionally cutting off this thing. And it is so interesting. I've talked to so many different women who are in that age, fully into marriage, and husband has a vasectomy because we decided, or he decided, or I decided, or we're not going to have any more children. And it's just like something's different between us. Can I put my finger on it? Maybe not necessarily. But there is this sense of, we can have this injury, this intimacy, but ultimately, it redounds to use because we cut that third thing off. That fruitfulness. Again, the question we ask is this an accurate reflection of God's kind of love, or is it not? Is it fruitful, or fruitful, or is it not? And we're working against that. Completely different if someone is not able to have a child. That's not the same thing at all, because we're not working against that.
I had a friend that was prescribed birth control because of her system and for health reasons, but it wasn't for like preventing birth. Like, what would you say in that instance?
As long as she's chaste, that's fine. But I would also say that talk to a good doctor, and a good doctor would be able to say, here's what we can do for you so that you don't have to be on the pill.
Okay.
I think that's it. Because if Weston's leaving, he's a birthday man, so if he leaves, we have to call it quits.
It's party time.
It's party time. Excellent. So, you guys, happy birthday. Thank you guys so much for coming. God bless you all. Holy Spirit.